think that we through life are passing through a world called the shadow of death. Well, you know, there cannot be any shadow unless there is light. It's impossible to have a shadow unless there is light. So the shadow of death tells you the world of light is shining. And a shadow is a very painless, a very harmless thing. A shadow cannot possibly do you any harm. It's repeatedly used in the Bible to tell you how much good it does you. You could sit under the shadow of His love, it's like His great delight, and so forth. On a hot day, a shadow is a lovely thing to have to shelter you from the heat of the sun, and so forth. So a shadow suggests very lovely thought. And it tells you here in these two words alone that the Christian life is through, and it's through a world that's marred by the shadow of death. Now, Job uses that expression considerably. I think you find it 10 or 12 times in the book of Job. And Job passes through the fearful trials that he did, had a rather gloomy view of things. But he speaks of the shadow of death a number of times. Like here in Job 24, it says in verse 17, he says, "For the morning is to them even as the shadow of death. If one know them, they are the terrors of the shadow of death." Job talks about the terrors of the shadow of death. He must have been in a very gloomy condition of things, for there's absolutely no terror in a shadow. That's impossible. A shadow cannot possibly do you any harm. It can warn you of harm to come. It has nothing to do with harm itself. So the terrors of the shadow of death was a very gloomy view that Job took. And he mentions it some 10 or 12 times, and each time that the idea of fear, something to be dreaded, and so forth. And he says some very sad things. Let me read this to you, chapter 10 of Job. Kind of mystery to me that if you ever could say words like this, but the Bible records them. He must have been in a really gloomy condition. In chapter 10, this is what he says. In verse 20 of Job 10, "Are not my days few? Cease then and let me alone, that I may take comfort a little. Before I go, whence I shall not return, even to the land of darkness and the shadow of death. A land of darkness, a darkness itself, and the shadow of death, without any order, and where the light is as dark." Now he's mixing things all up, all together. He tells, he talks about the shadow of death, and then he talks about the land of darkness and darkness itself. Well, there's darkness itself, but there's no shadow. You have to have light to have shadow. I remember years ago somebody took me down in a coal mine in Iowa. By the way, Iowa has the deepest coal mines in the U.S. Something like 1,200 feet deep, which are the deepest anywhere in this country, I understand. And one of our Christian friends was an assistant superintendent of the mine, and he took me down in here. And you know, they carried at that time, many years ago, they carried this cap, and in this cap was a small electric light lit by a battery. Well, when we got down, he took the way to one end of one of the lanes of the mine where there was nobody, and then he took this flashlight out and turned the light out, and it was in the dark. You could feel the darkness, it was so thick. There was no light of any description anywhere. The blackness of dark. And of course, there's no shadows there. It's impossible to be shadows. And Job talks about the shadow of death and a darkness itself, he said. And he's contradicting himself. There is no such thing as darkness itself, and yet there's the shadow of death too. That's impossible. There's no shadow in this total darkness. Now this is worthwhile noticing. But when you remember, God talks in the Bible about sinners as being in the darkness. So the shadow of death does not apply to sinners. It applies to Christians. Christians only have the light. Now, I'm not talking about physical darkness, though. That's just an illustration the Bible uses. The Bible talks about moral and spiritual darkness. It It says, first in the Epistle of John, that the worldling walks in darkness and knows not whither he goeth, for the darkness has blinded his eye. It tells about Christians that God has brought them out of darkness into his marvelous light. And he's talking about moral darkness. The sinner isn't in physical darkness. He has electric light like I do, and there's the sun shining on him in the daytime. But spiritually, he is in total and absolute darkness. The Bible says he lives in darkness, he walks in darkness, and goes on to darkness. It says, for the sinner, there is the blackness of darkness forever. And when there's the blackness of darkness, like when I was in that coal mine, there's no shadow there at all. The shadow is the blessing. And this 23rd verse tells about the blessing that the Christian goes to a world called the shadow of death. And he goes through the shadow because there's light. And it tells you the light, but says, thou art with me. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the light, as we all know. So when he talks about the shadows, then he talks about something only Christians know about. The world knows nothing about. And let me say, I'm talking about moral darkness. A person that doesn't know Christ, doesn't know anything whatever of the eternal blessings of God's way. He's walking in moral darkness. And when he is saved, God takes him out of darkness and brings him into the light of his grace. Out of darkness into marvelous light. That's why unsaved people say, you tell him the gospel just as plainly as you know how. And when you get to it, it's alive, you don't see it. It's not because of his death. The reason they don't see it, because they're in the dark. In the dark, you don't see anything. It's peculiar, because you can tell the gospel as plain as you know how, and they say, I don't see it. And I tell them all of that. That's not because it isn't there. It's because you're in the dark, that's why. When you're brought into the light, then you see. And the Christian is brought into the light. And it tells you his life is a life that is marked by the shadow of death. And so the shadow for the Christian is a very precious thing. It tells of blessing and life and all the rest. You know, it's just too bad that the Psalm 23 hadn't been written yet, but Job yet tells it in doleful words. It talks about later on, the Lord Jesus Christ was to come. It tells it in Isaiah chapter 9, in the second verse. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them the light has shined. And he says, they that dwell in the light of the shadow, they talk about Israel. That is, the Messiah came to them. They had a measure of life, so they were walking the shadow of death. Death casts its shadow everywhere, but death can't hurt the Christian. Death has absolutely nothing to do with the Christian. Why? Because it passed, that's why. He has brought us out of darkness into his life. It says we have passed out of death into life. That's what John 5:34 says. But if the Christian is no longer in the darkness, he's in the light. And where there is light, there are shadows. There has to be light to be shadow. And you know just as well as I do, the brighter the light, the darker the shadow. When it's a kind of a gloomy day, you see very little of a shadow. Because it's not much colder, but that the sun shines brightly and then a building or a person casts a very definite and clear shadow. The brighter the light, the deeper the shadow. And since the Christians are in the light, therefore they see the shadow more than other people do. Because the brighter the light, the clearer the shadow. But who's afraid of a shadow? It's hard. It's the shadow of death itself. Now death casts its shadow. And I think particularly to talk about the shadow that death cast at Calvary. That's where the darkness was there. At Calvary, there was no light whatever. For 3 hours, it says, there was the darkness covering the earth. And that darkness was just a physical illustration of the spiritual darkness that you live. I say again, whenever the Bible talks about darkness in a physical way, it uses that the spirit, they'll say, from the spirit. That man is in moral darkness, doesn't know God, is away from him. And so on the cross, the light disappeared for 3 hours to tell us that the Lord Jesus Christ was away from God. God forsook him. And there was that spirit of fearful moral darkness which would bear our sin and our guilt. And that darkness cast its shadow over the whole world now. Since Christ has died, the shadow of that cross is found everywhere. In everything you can see, or that you have eyes to see, you see the shadow of the cross of Calvary. Anything that dies, that springs up again, tells you about Calvary, it's the shadow. Christ died and then he rose again. And every time a blade springs out of the grass, any time a creature is born, any time a baby is born, you have the story again of death coming into life, the darkness coming into life, and so forth. And so the darkness casts its shadow, the death casts its shadow everywhere. But then there's another shadow of birth. And I mean the death has another meaning. Death casts its shadow foretelling of the misery that's going to become something. That shadow is meant to warn the sinner. That you have the shadow now, but there's going to come a time when you don't have the shadow, you'll have nothing but darkness. It's a warning to the sinner. And I think that's what he's talking about here when he says, we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But anyway, let's consider this for a brief moment. The shadow of death simply means for the Christian that he's living in the world where light has come. The light has shone throughout his heart, and light shines on his soul. It shines around him, so to speak, and particularly so for this reason. Because it says, thou art with me. And Christ is the light of the world. He said, I am the light of the world. And where there's light, you have the shadow. And so, we are living in the light of God's grace. And so we thank God that in this world where death lays, where people die, where everything else dies, where many eventually will die and go to eternal blackness forever and never have any life. Let me say again, I'm not talking about physical darkness. I'm not saying that the sinner in hell will have no physical life. He'll have no spiritual life. He'll never know God's saving grace. He'll never know the joy of sin forgiven. He'll never know peace with God. Use it in the natural way. When you're in the dark, you don't see anything. Doesn't make a difference how beautiful a person's face might be, you don't see it. No matter how beautiful the scenery might be, you don't see it. No matter how lovely your home is, if it's dark, you don't see it. And the sinner's in darkness, he never sees anything. He wouldn't see Christ here when the gospel preaches. He won't see anything there. He'll never see it there. The blackness of darkness simply will be shut out from everything that makes life worth living. But praise God, it's not so with the Christian. Someday for the Christian there'll be no shadow either. Several times over in the Songs of Solomon you read these words. That day when the shadow shall flee away. That is for the Christian the time is coming. Then there will be no shadow for him at all. The shadow will flee away. There will be nothing but light. Death won't be there. And death is the one thing here that says that casts the shadow. The wages of sin is death, and it's sin that casts all the shadow in this world. But they don't do the believer any harm because sin has been put away from him. His sins have been forgiven. He brought him to the light of God's master's grace. And all that he knows in his world is the shadow of death. A very mild experience, shall we say, where death can make its influence felt, but has no power or control over it. I think that's what it meant to tell us. That's why he said, yea, though I walk. Now there's another lovely word, though I walk. This fourth, which is talk about the life of the Christian. For the word walk is all the time used to illustrate a believer's life in the life. It's called his walk. And though I walk, yes, I walk. He puts in the personal pronoun form. I, and you can say for yourself, I am a Christian, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I'm not rushing, I walk. The Christian doesn't need to be in the rush. He has the glory that lies before him. He's going through. I like that word through. though I walk through, God might have put it in, though I walk in, but he doesn't put it there. He wants to know, there's somewhere where you're not going to stay. He's just going through. And that word through is a lovely word that Peter time and again in the scripture. Going through this world of sorrow, trouble, and sin on the way to glory. He has it in the 66th Psalm, for instance. He talks about this word through. Read it, please. He says, in verse 10 of Psalm 60, for thou, O God, hast proved, thou hast tried as a silver strife. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidst the fixed upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. But thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. We go through the fire, through the water, through the flood, through the misery and sadness in this world, but we are passing on through it. We're not going to stay here. Now it brought into a wealthy place. That's a place of rich blessing, to the palace of life and glory that lies before. He mentioned the same thing, the same precious truth in Isaiah, chapter 43, where he tells us this is Christian. You have that word through in a great many places. It says in Isaiah chapter 43 and the verse 2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Through and through, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's not my abiding place, I'm going through. When he talks about the history of the nation of Israel, mentioned in different places, it says they passed through the wilderness, through a desert. They went through. They had a destiny. They knew the trials of the way, but they were not going to stay there. They walked through the world called the shadow of death. But they reached their destiny. And so it is for the Christian. Yea, though I walk through, and I like to dream for myself on that little word through with all its precious meaning, we are going that way too, on the way to glory. Yes, the darkness for the Christian did not fall on him, it fell on Christ. The blackness of darkness fell on our Savior on the cross. So that the light of God's grace might shine on us. In the light of God's grace, we walk with him. Though I walk through the valley, I will fear no evil. Now, Job talks repeatedly about this pressure of fear in the Old Testament, in this book. The shadow of that filling in the fear. But when it talks about the Christmas, that I will fear no evil. Why not? One simple truth. Thou art with me. I like those two beautiful contrasts here. I walk. And then next you hear him speaking to the Lord. In the first three verses he talks about the Lord. He says, he is my shepherd. He makes me glad. But now he talks to him. In other words, he suggests that the Lord is right alongside him. He says so. Thou art me talking to. Though I walk, I fear no evil, for I talk. That's what it said. He was talking to the Lord. And the reason he tells you, he walked with him and talked with him. And that tells you the whole story of the Christian life. What takes the fear out of the Christian life is you walk with him and you talk with him. He's right alongside. You have that tribulation presented in another journey. I might have spoken of it at time. In Luke chapter 24, you remember the disciples were walking away from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and the Lord walked with them and talked with them along the way. And it said, Tithna Mahat burned with his body, fought with his body, way, no just as scriptures. There it said, he fought. But the last psalm said, I thought. Thou art with me. I'm doing this talking. I'm talking to the Lord, so thou art with me, and so I fear no evil. In other words, he is the believer is walking and talking. And really he fears no evil because he's not walking alone. He says, I walk, but thou art with me. So there was two of them. I walk and you walk, Lord. The two of them are walking together. He puts it the first personal plural now, but there were two that were walking. And that's the secret of a Christian life, two walk. Time and again, that two been brought out in the New Testament, two. In the Old Testament, it said to the Jews, thou shalt not, and thou shalt not, and thou shalt, and thou is singular. When you say thou shalt not, you're talking to one person. But the New Testament says, well, let us love one another. And let us. It talks about more than one. And when he says, well, let us, the Lord is talking. He says, you and I, the two of us together. That's what you have here. I talk, I walk, and I talk, the two of us together. I'm talking to him, so I'm not alone. He's alongside me. Thou art with me. No wonder it says, I fear no evil. When you can go through life, walking through this world on the way to a blessed destination, and have Christ with you alongside, then you have found the ideal secret of a successful Christian life. That's the way it works. We walk with him. Thou art with me. And whatever needs there may be, whatever trials there may come, whatever may happen and so forth, he is there. And all the power and all the grace and all the wisdom and so forth are found in him. And so you can just leave your life in his hands. Thou art with me. I can hear this person talk to the Lord out of me saying, oh Lord, I need this today. Or I will thou please keep me. I stumble so easily. The Lord grabs him by the arm and guides him. I stumble. I use a cane. But spiritually, I don't use a cane. I have the Lord Jesus alongside of me. I can talk to him and look to him. And he keeps me, sustains me by his power. I'm walking with one who's alongside him. That one is the Lord of life and glory. And yet there is a shadow. Christ walks with me. He walks with me through this world of shadow. He walked himself through this world with the shadow of death. Death was all around him when he was walking. But he is the light. And when you are the light, of course, you don't see the shadow. In fact, when you would walk with one who's the light, whatever shadow is going to be behind you. If you're walking along and face the sun, the shadow is behind you. You don't see it at all. It's only when you turn your back to the sun. So when you turn your back to Christ, then you walk in your own shadow. But when you turn with your face to Christ, you don't see the shadow at all. You walk to the valley of the shadow, that's because you don't see it. You're walking the light of his glory, the light of his presence. In other words, all you have to do is to walk with the Lord to have the shadow behind you. It doesn't do you any harm, even impression of any sense of fear or danger. There doesn't need to be anything for that. That's what he's suggesting, without much more than I can get out of it. But it's all there for us. I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff did come. Yes, there's that word through. And then I walk. And then I talk. Thou art with me. And I like to think of those three words. Walk, of course, suggests life. You can't walk unless you've got life. So he's talking about the Christian's life. That's the term the New Testament constantly used for the life we live. It says we walk with him. Walk worthy of the vocation which you're called and so forth. And I like to think that God uses that term. He doesn't say running or flying, but walk. Take your time. Don't be such an everlasting rush. Take time to be whole. Walk suggests a restful way of going, a healthy way of going. My doctor told me, he said, your heart isn't too strong, but walking is a very good exercise. As long as you don't overdo it. Walking spiritually is a wonderful exercise. It means that you take your time to be whole. And here you have Christ alongside with you and enjoy his companionship. You walk and then you talk with him. That's what this verse tells you, along the road. So the walk suggests life. Then secondly, it says, thou art with me. He is the life of all, so they have life. You have life and life. And then thou art with me, that suggests his love. He came to be with me. He came from the glory to be my Savior, the love. So you have life, light and love in this fourth verse. In the walk you have the life. In the idea of a shadow you have light. And thou art with me, you have love. And you have exactly the same order in the New Testament. In the Gospel of John, the first few verses, first chapter rather, talk about Christ as the light, because he was the light. The next few verses, chapter, the next chapters, from about 4 or 5 out of chapter 10, speak of Christ as the life. And from chapter 12 to the end of the book, you have Christ as the love, the one who loves his people. You have life, 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 and love. It's exactly the same way you have in here. Life, life, and love. Standing up. And it suggested this was that they are the ones that are with. The shadow suggests light. And the walk around suggests light. The shadow suggests light. And his presence with me suggests love. And those are the three great tremendous spiritual forces. So it's no wonder that it says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. What more could a person wish than this wonderful comfort of walking personally, consciously with the Lord Jesus Christ, walking and talking? How much talking do we do to the Lord Jesus? You talk to him in prayer. You can talk to him any time during the day. He's always willing to listen. Any problem in the life that you get, you jump at it and go ahead with things. Take a little time, even as you walk along the road, to ask the Lord for that. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Why should he? Why should I fear? He is with me. The one that has all the power and wisdom that's needed. And yet I walk in the shadow. He sees fit to leave me in this world where shadows are cast on every hand. But these shadows are no terror to me whatever. In fact, they suggest to me all the time the blessing that there is for me in Christ. The caveat, I say this again, I think it's so important. It cannot be any danger because shadows cannot possibly move. Death has lost its power over the Christian. Sin shall not have dominion over. Death is not our enemy, a physical death even is our friend. It takes us out away from this valley of the shadow of death. Into the heights of glory that aren't any shadow. But then he died. And death, of course, speaks of the spiritual condition of things in the world. And they too can't hurt the Christian. But being saved by the mighty grace of God, God sustains the Christian in the midst of all the sin that there is around. Death may cast its shadow, but it cannot affect the Christian. Except, of course, the warning that there is sin in this world, but it cannot affect him. If he walks with the Lord, there's no danger at all. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Then he says, thou art with me, and thou hast all that's necessary. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort. As I walk through this valley of the shadow of death, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort. Now, when you go through scripture, you find that the rod was largely used by Moses and Aaron for the punishment of the evil, for the wicked. Not altogether, but sometimes it was used to bring water and so forth. But you read them together again in scripture as the instrument of which God judges people. In fact, it tells about the Lord in the future day that he's going to smite them with a rod of iron and so forth. The Lord talks about his power. Thou art with me. That Lord rule is the Lord of divine authority, the Lord of which all evil can be subdued and will be subdued, And the love of which now he gives me power over that which is evil, power over my enemies. He holds the love and controls all the power of the enemy. Satan cannot hurt me unless the Lord Jesus Christ wants it. He controls everything. He has the love in his hand for the Christian. The world doesn't see that, of course. He sees the world like we see it too. The world with all its loveliness and wickedness and violence. Crime, prosperity. Honest people locked behind bars at that day. Troops running around wild in the open air. That's the kind of a world we live in. But in spite of all that, the Lord controls the love. As far as the Christian is concerned, nothing can happen to you unless he wants it then. As he sees his wife for your spiritual benefit. But he controls the life of the Christian. The Lord is in his hand. And someday he will show the world the Lord is in his hand when he smites his enemies. In the days to come, with the love of God. In the meantime, it's a great comfort to the Christian. The love, it speaks of power and authority, are in the hands of one who's walking alongside him. It means that nothing can touch me unless he says so. A matter of just pure and simple, his feet. And then that staff comes with me, of course. The staff speaks of that which you lean on. Just like the love speaks of the control over the enemies, the staff speaks of the support of his own people. I lean on the staff a little bit now, which is a cave to keep me strong. And so the Christian has this staff to lean on. He has the supporting grace and power of God for every need along life's way. And no doubt, no other than to say, they comfort. It's a wonderful comfort to have the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who controls your life and meets your every need. Provide for every circumstance and sustains in every kind of trial. Oh, how often, God only knows, in my life I've learned to lean on that staff for sustaining grace in times of trial and difficulty. Instead of being overcome, you say, why does this happen to me? You realize that he's alongside of you. He has the love of the staff. He knows how to keep evil under control. Keep the enemy from wrecking your life and sustain you and your Christian life and testimony and keep you near himself. And all the time, he walked with you. I walked and I talked with him. Now, it's the valley of the shadow of death. God has seen fit to let us go through a world where there are shadows. Sometimes very dark. Sometimes he purposely makes us walk or walk in those shadows. Sometimes he allows us or makes us turn away from him. When we turn our back to the light because we walk in the shadow, you turn back to light anywhere, the shadow is ahead of you. So you walk in the shadow. Life is a little dark and God allows that to teach you sense. He lets you know something of the trials and sorrows of the way when you go along and so forth. Because while he walks with you, turns it back to the light with you to walk in the dark, and then again when you're in communion with him, he turns his face to the light, and the darkness is behind you, and you walk in the light of the spirit. But he knows just exactly how much shadow and how much black light you need in your Christian life. He knows perfectly well that sometimes the Christian needs to know something about shadow, he needs something about the trials of life. So he sees the shadow falls across your path. But praise God, you read this psalm, you read this lovely fourth verse with its striking statement, and you say, praise God, I'm walking through the valley. Through the valley. And the valley, that's another nice thought, isn't it? Through the valley. God takes his people through life and they're humble. He knows how needful it is. Christ set us the example. He humbled himself all during his life, became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Christ himself set us the example that the life of true fruitfulness and usefulness is a humble one. So he takes us through the valley. We start, shall we say, at the Mount Calvary. Now we walk through the valley, we go up to the mount of the other end, to the mount of glory, to the heights of blessing. In the meantime, we walk down lowly in this valley. But we walk day by day by the little one who controls everything in the universe and who knows me personally. I like this personal pronoun business. Doesn't say we walk to the valley. He is with us. No, I walk and thou art with me. It makes it extremely personal. God wants you and me to know that all this is real. And as we tread our earthly path, we are marching through the valley of the shadow. In the book of Jeremiah, it talks about Israel's journey through the wilderness and says they march through the shadow of death. It uses the same expression. See, there are a lot of shadows in the wilderness, lots of trials and burdens and so forth. But they were marching on to their proper destination, to their homeland at the end. Many of them never reached. The vast majority of them, not the last word, but all of them were left Egypt over 20 years old, died in the wilderness. But it was 4 years, and 4 years most older people died. But they all died through the wilderness. They never reached their promised land. But of course, that's just an illustration. I may die, but I'll still reach my promised land, but my promised land is not here. It's not in the land of Canaan. And they died along the way, they never reached their destination. But I reach my destiny. The death or life has nothing to do with death. Whether I die or don't die, I'm going to be in heaven. Whether the Lord Jesus Christ comes or doesn't come, I'm going to reach that destiny. I'm going to pass through the valley of the shadow of death. And I'll come into the world of life where I can stand the life. Here you can't stand life all the time. You have to die at night for rest, to relax and so forth. In the world of sin in which we live, it's necessary. In our spiritual life, God knows we need the trials of way, we need the shadow for our spiritual benefit. But when we get to heaven, we'll be so fit for that we told that you don't need any shadow. You'll be able to bear the light in all its majestic glory and fullness forever. You'll be through the valley of the shadow of death. Death has no place there. Death was settled for the Christian at Calvary. What lies ahead of us is eternal life in the presence of God, His infinite glory. You and I are traveling that way. So when you're thinking again about this verse, think about it, Lord. Thank God for those words. I walk, and I talk, and I walk through on the way up to glory, that Christ will be forever.